Hello, listener, and welcome. Thanks for downloading the Posh Prelude from a 134 goals. My name's Chris Sharp, and I'll be looking ahead at Saturday's game away at Doncaster Rovers for Peterborough United. I'll be taking a look at the Posh, Doncaster Rovers, and also the ref, Mr. Nigel Miller. And then I'll finish the podcast with a prediction of how I see things panning out score-wise. So another eventful week for Peterborough United. Darren McAntony is back over in the country. He was expecting to be sifting through CVs and applications to come up with a shortlist for the vacancy that Darren Ferguson has left. However, instead he's been placing his faith and confidence quite rightly in Dave Robertson and his management team of Aaron McLean and Grant McCann, who have done an absolutely sterling job since they've taken over. Darren has said he's not immediately looking for a replacement. He's happy to let things run. And with three wins out of three, you can't really fault that kind of thinking. But you would have to imagine that as a businessman, Darren McAntony would have a plan B in mind. I don't think he's necessarily going to execute that right now or anytime soon. But obviously, if things don't work out, then he will have an option that he can rely upon. But in the meantime, it's happy days, Posh fans. We have got back to winning ways, and it's a long overdue. The other good news this week is that we have been doing some business with contracts. Michael Boswick has just signed a three-year contract with the club, which is fantastic. Bozzy, age 26, adds the sort of experience that we at times scream out for or have screamed out for as fans. And certainly his performances over the last three or four games have been very, very good indeed. I don't think it's any surprise that he's been moved back into his more natural position of central midfield, where he's done an absolutely fantastic job as a destroyer, and also he's very adept at taking the ball forward. He's one hell of a unit, and I would not like to be standing in front of him when he's on the charge. And as we all know, he's got a great shot, so he offers a lot to the club, and it's great to see him back to his previous confident self and obviously making a big contribution to the side. The other good news is that we've signed six of the players from the under-21s on professional contracts, which is fabulous news and reinforces our strategy and investing and developing youth within the club, and creating a conveyor belt of talent coming through, which is only a good thing if you can do that in-house, which we have done. And obviously Dave Robertson takes credit for that as well. So the players that we've signed: Dion Henry, who's a goalkeeper, only 16, but a very exciting prospect. And the other very much exciting prospects are Jack Friend and Harry Anderson, who I've seen play for the under-21s personally. Very, very good. And obviously Harry Anderson has already featured in the first team, so that the future is looking very bright for him. And the other people that we've signed are Johnny Edwards, Leo Silva Lopez and Toby Adebayo Rowling. So good news there for those good lads, and good luck to them for the future. The other news is that Marcus Madison has appealed his red card. It was an appeal that ultimately was lost. I have to say, from a personal point of view, I'm not surprised. When I saw the incident live last week, I didn't think there was much contact. And looking again on video, on replays of the game, you can see that there wasn't any contact that was made. However, his foot was raised, studs were showing, his boot clipped the top of the ball and went high. Now, obviously, if the contact had been made, that could have had very major implications for Luke O'Neill, who would have been on the other end of the challenge. But I think it has to be an exceptionally bad decision for the Football League to overturn a referee's red card. So I wasn't really surprised that that didn't really go anywhere. Luke O'Neill, I think, made an absolute meal of the incident, as did the rest of the Orient players. So, you know, he doesn't come out with any credit for his own contribution to the incident, but we move on. Finally, on Leighton Orient, whilst I'm talking about them, Romain Vintelot, he was stretchered off last Saturday, and he's now out for the remainder of the season. He's got knee ligament damage. I saw the incident from the upper level of the glebe, and it was a 50-50 ball. There was contact made. There was one almighty crack, which was very audible. That obviously was his knee ligaments going. So it's never nice to see a player's season end in such circumstances. So I wish Romain all the very best for a speedy recovery and good luck. Right, next I'd like to spend a few moments talking about Dave Robertson. Many congratulations to Dave and his management team of Aaron and Grant, who have been doing a fabulous job since the departure of Darren Ferguson. Can't underestimate the step up that Robbo has taken, coming from the under-21s and taking over over the full first team. But what a difference he's made. It's an immediate impact, and full credit to him, because he's got three good wins under his belt. Bradford, Sheffield United, which we had never scored at their place before, so that's a major achievement to get two goals late on to win the game. And obviously the battling performance against Leyton Orient. Three very different performances, three very different games, but three wins nonetheless. So that obviously gives us a great deal of momentum. And I think the difference that that Robbo's made is that he's brought a positivity about the ground. He's filled the players with confidence. He's reinvigorated players, and in some cases, he's transformed them. I'm thinking specifically here about Santos, who previously, it would be fair to say, didn't have some of his better games for Peterborough United, but since Robbo's been in charge, he's definitely transformed, and he's put in some really good performances. He's only a young lad, he's only going to get better, so that's Robbo obviously doing what he does best with nurturing talent, so well done there. And the other thing that he's brought, which is obviously obvious to everybody, is bringing together a team spirit and togetherness within the camp, which is totally apparent, and the collective will to win has got the three victories for Posh over the last three games, and long may that continue. And I think if you had to boil down what has Robbo done, I think he's brought a simplicity to the way that we play. He's gone back to basics. He's made sure that each player knows their job, and he places his trust in them to go out and execute it and deliver that. And if you were looking from a HR textbook way to turn around a failing team, an underperforming team, Robbo has certainly delivered that. So full credit to him. He's also managed to get an instant buy-in from the players. So they obviously like him. They buy into what he's saying to them. And that's, again, only to his credit. I think the challenge longer term is for Robbo keeping the squad motivated, because whilst he's obviously in the honeymoon period at the moment and everybody is fully up for the challenge ahead, for those players that are not being selected and are not getting game time, keeping them their spirits up and keeping them motivated is going to be the challenge that he faces. I'm sure he's up for the job, but you know that is going to be a challenge for him that is going to be arriving at his doorstep very soon. And I've mentioned the honeymoon period. We are doing remarkably well with Robbo, but the question mark here is what happens after we have our first loss. I just pray it's not Saturday, but you know that's going to happen at some point. It is going to be reality, and the question there is, and the test we have there is how Robbo gets the team to respond and get some belief back into the players. Something that we haven't been able to do that well over the last 18 months. When we've had losses in that period, we've found it difficult at times to come back straight away and get back to winning ways. But that was the test that Robbo faces, and you know, and the evidence so far, he looks the man for the job. Right, Doncaster Rovers, let's talk about them for a bit. What can you say about Doncaster Rovers? Like Posh, they're unbeaten in three. Although whilst Posh have won the last three games, Doncaster Rovers have won one and drawn two. So not quite at the same level, but they are level on points. We both share 50, and we're just separated by a goal difference of two goals. So they're going to prove tough opponents. They have sold a shed load of tickets for this game. They've reduced the prices, as I'm sure you know. It's £5 entry fee for adults and £1 for kids. And they're expecting this to be their biggest gate of the season. They have got a capacity of 15,000. They average 6,455 a game. And their previous high at the Keep Moat was against Sheffield United, where they got 11,000 in. So hopefully anything over 11,000 will be a good result for them and reward for their initiative of dropping the prices. And it just goes to show that if you drop the prices, you can get the punters in and get bums on seats. So I'm sure the 2,400 Posh fans that are going are going to make this a right raucous atmosphere and do their best to continue supporting the players as they have done over the last three games.